And we're live.
Hello, everyone. My name's Mark from High Rise Digital, and welcome to the very first edition of WP Cafe. So grab yourself a coffee, tea, whatever you fancy, and join us for the next hour to chat about WordPress, and specifically WordPress in relation to small agencies and freelancers, so what we like to call in the real world. So in this first edition, we're going to be discussing the WordPress block editor, known as Gutenberg. We've got some great guests for today's episode, who've all recently been developing with Gutenberg, and they've got some great stories and advice to give us. So I think we'll get started and introduce our panel. But I think before we do, we're just going to say this is our first live broadcast, so please bear with us with the technology and stuff. We hope it goes smoothly for you, but there might be some little glitches. So I'm just going to go round my screen, and we'll start with Diane. So if you could let us know who you are, what you do, and why you're here, it'd be great.
Hi, hello. I'm Diane Wallace, and I'm a freelance theme and WordPress theme and plugin developer. And I've just spent the last 18 months working with BrightTalk and converting all of their short codes that they were using in a page builder into Gutenberg blocks. So lots of fun there.
Cool, that's good. Michael?
Hi, I'm Mike. I'm senior developer and studio manager at Edge Creative, an integrated marketing agency. We've been spending the last 6 months building all our new client sites with Gutenberg.
Excellent. Keith?
I'm Keith. I am co-founder of Highrise Digital, lead front-end developer. And we recently built our first client site using Gutenberg native blocks. That was an experience I'm looking forward to sharing.
Excellent. And finally, Ben.
Hi, I'm Ben. I'm Binary Moon on Twitter. I've been selling premium themes since 2007, and I've been selling themes on WordPress.com since 2013. I also co-write the WordPress newsletter called Master WP.
Excellent. Thank you very much, everyone. So hopefully everyone's got some great advice, stories, and tips to tell us during this broadcast. So this all came about with, as Keith mentioned, we at Highrise Digital were developing our first sort of site with the Gutenberg editor, and we came across some challenges, some good things, some bad things, and we thought it would be really good to chat about those things with other people in similar positions, hence the reason why we've got our expert panel today. So we're just going to ask some of the questions to the panel and get their advice on different things. So I think first of all, we'll just look at, you know, what are your thoughts on the block editor? What do you like about it? What do your clients think about it as well? That would be great. Can we start with Keith?
Sure. My thoughts have shifted. I have been openly skeptical about the whole thing since the outset, really. I was pretty upset with the way it kind of turned up and the early stages of it. However, since starting working with Gutenberg, I guess my opinion has shifted slightly. I am seeing some of the opportunities that are possible with it. I've enjoyed working with some aspects of it, but there are, for me, some philosophical issues still. And some technical challenges that I'm finding quite difficult, but so I'm on the fence still, but embracing it because it's the future of WordPress, so got to get on board.
Yeah, cool. Ben,
I don't have clients, so yep. I can't answer it from that perspective. But personally, I think it's got a lot of potential. I'm not sure it's entirely there yet, and from the newsletter I've been quite skeptical, or not skeptical, I thought it was merged in too quickly. Okay. And I think it could have been developed further, because at the moment it's changing a lot, especially between releases, and if you use the plugin it's changing even more rapidly. But I think in the future, once it's all completed, it could be really nice, and it will open up a lot of things for users and developers.
Cool, that's good. You mentioned like the changing rapidly. I think we'll come on to that a bit later as well, which is probably another topic in itself. So thanks. Michael?
Yeah, I think it's a positive going forward. It's what clients need so they can have more control over their site. But to echo everybody else's point, it's a moving target at the moment.
Okay.
We're you think the first one project you'll build one way, the second project, because a new release has happened, you'll have to change your mindset. So from a development point of view, it's hard because you change it. And I'd hate to think, if you're a theme developer, between different releases, you're having to probably completely rewrite large chunks of your code to get it to work.
Okay, interesting. And Diane, what are your thoughts? What have you got clients that use it, and what do they think?
So, I mean, yes, mostly because mostly recently I've been working with BrightTalk. It's almost like having sort of one client. I mean, I'm using Gutenberg or making themes now so that they're all Gutenberg ready. But BrightTalk, where I've mostly used Gutenberg, from the people using it, the users have been really positive about Gutenberg. They've really liked it. I think the same as everyone else, especially when I started, because when I started on the project, it was just before Gutenberg came out, and so there were so many changes that it was quite hard to keep up just in one project. So, you know, I'm very aware of that, you know, kind of like going forward, it's kind of supporting, you know, kind of themes that you've done,
yeah,
like 6 months down the line. I'm kind of curious to see, you know, kind of how that will pan out. And the same, I feel the same as Keith, although I think I've always been slightly more positive about Gutenberg, but I did feel that it should maybe a plugin for a while first, you know, just let people learn how to use it and let natural uptake happen before it went into core. But for me, I'm more positive than negative, because I think there are benefits, but there are pain points. And I think, as everyone said, part of that is that it does evolve quickly. So
yeah.
I think we're all kind of going, what do we do? I've finished a project 6 months down the line, you know, what's our support package going to be, you know, kind of having to explain to clients that there may be ongoing support and yeah, things like that, you know, kind of. I think we're all kind of finding our way on that part of it, I think, at the moment.
Yeah, it's an interesting journey, isn't it? Everyone's trying different things and seeing if it works, and There's no perfect answer at the moment, I think, isn't it? It's interesting you mentioned about the fact that it was a plugin first, because that kind of how WordPress has worked over the past few years, and it does seem a lot of people have said that it was perhaps not a plugin long enough, which, you know, you could argue whether that's the case or not. Anyway, it's there, we've got it, and it's in use, so why not have a go with it? It's probably what we should be trying to do. So obviously we've got four people we've got some different uses of the editor and the block editor and different things that they've done. So it'd be good to get a sense of what you've actually developed, what you've been building and so forth. Just before we do, obviously, if you've got some questions, then please, if you are watching on YouTube, then please add them into the comments. We'll try and get to as many as we can. I can't promise, though, we want to obviously hear from as many people. So if you've got some comments in the questions, then put them in the comments and we'll try and get to them. I think Keith's monitoring those for us, yeah, with his tech stack in front of him.
Yeah.
So let's get to what we've actually been doing then. So, Ben, if I can come to you then. So have you got any, I think you're building themes, aren't you, specifically with WordPress. So what have you been doing with your themes in order to be able to get them Gutenberg ready? What did that involve? What were the sorts of things?
So adding support to my themes, I've got about 20 premium themes that I've updated over the last 3 months. And it's mostly been a case of making it look consistent with the existing themes. Okay. Gutenberg comes with styles, buttons and block quotes and whatnot, but they don't actually match with the existing theme styles.
Okay.
So I've been trying to override those and make everything look consistent everywhere, and also changing the back end, the editor, so that it matches the front end.
Cool. So you're trying to make the editing experience seamless with what they see on the front, or as seamless as possible with what they see on the front side.
Yeah, I think you can get 100%. Yeah, a lot closer.
Yeah, so it's mostly been working with core blocks, has it then? And so you've not really been adding blocks, you've been just, it's been styling them to make them...
I have made some blocks. I have a plugin called WP Toolbelt, which is a bit like Jetpack, but it's designed for privacy and speed.
Cool.
And so I've got a few blocks in that I've written.
And so that is that a plugin that you like recommend when someone purchases the theme, or is that like built in?
It's on the .org repository. Yeah, anyone can use it.
Ben, okay, and it just sorry go on.
Please. No, it's just you mentioned overriding the kind of default Gutenberg styling.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a clever way to do that, or I mean, can we kind of batch turn things off, or no? It's like literally just have to override the styles that exist rather than kind of turning off output of CSS. So there's no kind of filter that we can use or anything, is there?
There are some things you can turn off. I think there's two style sheets for Gutenberg. They have like a core styles and then a visual styles.
Yep.
So you can turn off some of it. But I've found that I've still had to go through every block. I've got about 40 test pages with different combinations of blocks and wow. All the different properties. And every time I change something, I go through them all and check that it hasn't broken something.
Yeah.
So if you had to style every block, every core block, I presume you have.
Pretty much, yeah.
Wow, that's
20
a lot.
Themes.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot of styles in a lot of blocks.
Yeah.
That's interesting, yeah. I wonder, you said you had 40 pages with for testing.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that you've developed, or is that something that someone's put out there for someone to sort of like download and import?
I don't know if it's public. It was because I sell themes on WordPress.com. They've got these. They had an XML import file that they created for us, but the code has changed. Like, as Gutenberg's been updated, the old HTML for the blocks has changed. So
right.
Some of the button HTML recently changed. It didn't have a wrapper, and so now the old buttons not relevant.
So does that mean your themes have just broken with buttons, or does that mean they still render as they would unless you've edited the page?
They used to have the standard Gutenberg buttons, which is like the black background and the rounded corners.
Yeah.
But now they match the buttons on the rest of the theme on the comments submit and that sort of thing.
Yeah. That's good. Okay, thanks for that, Ben. Let's move over to Michael. What stuff have you been working on? What sort of any specific block types you've been building, or has it been core stuff?
We began our journey in Gutenberg with using ICF to build blocks to be very specific to certain content that we needed to match designs.
Yep.
And we found that was good to start with, but as you go back and revisit sites to do updates, new features, we found that that's quite limiting. I need to move it to do it this way. So what we found is we're now breaking down into lots of little blocks that can then be built, which is difficult with ICF at the moment because there's not currently inner blocks.
Okay.
But what we have done is for certain core elements, we're extending the base Gutenberg blocks. And we've also started certain blocks that we'd use in several projects, like a section block.
Okay.
We've built our own through JavaScript and Gutenberg as a separate plugin. So now we can drop that into every project we use, and then we only use ACF where we need something bespoke for that individual project.
Right.
And that's worked quite well because we now have a toolkit plugin, drop that in, it's got, because it removes all the default selectors for headings, buttons, things that as an agency we don't tend to use much because we don't want to give our clients too much room to customize things because we want to keep it on brand and keep the style going.
Yep.
So we've done that. We add an extra class into all the headings so we can style it with our default style sheets, which have been quite tricky to incorporate. But then we've gone for the section block we use on every site now. Gives you the option to adds a container width so we can make it narrow, we can align it left, right, we can then use the styles to customize it, so if they want the primary color or neutral color as the background and everything goes with it, it helps us build out hero banners quite easily. And the most probably trickiest bit we've done so far is we add an image into the background.
Okay, so does the section block, is that like a container for other blocks to put inside?
Yes. Right. Yeah, so we do a section block, say if you want to do a header style, so your section block has your background color, your background image, and inside that we can use the core heading block, so we can then change the semantic value of the heading, whether it's a h1, a h2 or a standard paragraph. We can add sub paragraphs into there, add buttons to help build it a lot easier and like customize it a lot more, and then
We've got other blocks like two columns, but multi-column CSS. We can drop a block into there that then adds other blocks in, and I think it's that almost what's Inception style build that gives us the flexibility. And, but getting your head around that's been quite difficult because we've built a number of things and then going, oh, that doesn't work.
Right.
Which is always difficult as an agency because obviously this is on the client's dime type of thing.
Yeah. And you mentioned this, you mentioned something about an inner block. What was that, sorry?
Yeah. In Gutenberg, you have your standard blocks, which are, say, a button.
Yeah.
But then an inner block, you can then, is a container that adds a block inside it.
All right, okay.
It's a bit like how the columns work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, got you.
Gutenberg, you can then add a paragraph in there, add a button. And it's something I know ACF Elliot has spoken about he wants to do, but we're not quite there yet.
Yeah.
I see. Yeah. So with ACF, can you add an ACF block inside of a core block that is a container, if that makes sense? You can, can't
yes.
You? But you can't add an ACF block inside an ACF block.
Yeah.
Got you. Right, okay, that's good.
Michael, you mentioned there section blocks. Is that different from the native group block? And if so, how?
Yes, it's... I don't think of it's a core block with quite a few extras.
Okay.
Because with core block, you can change the style. You can change the background color. And that's pretty much it. So what we've done, we've changed it so we can change the width. So we can have a full width block, but the content can be a third of the page.
Yep.
So then we can, and then different options, we can align it left, align it right, align it centered. We played about with increasing and decreasing the padding. So if you're all in the heights, mm-hmm. so some elements you want a full height of the viewport. So we can do that with a little drop down option. So yes, this third block is, but then the second block below it can use exactly the same block, but isn't a full scale. It can be the height of the content needed.
I understand.
Are you doing that with styles?
So the basics we do with styles, but at the moment we add our own selector into, I think it's the equivalent of a meta field on the right hand side. So we go, oh, we want that to be wide, we want that to be left aligned, we want that to be something like that. Whereas the style itself takes care of the CSS basically. Okay. It goes, background blue, headings yellow, things like that.
Anthony Smith has just commented that inner blocks are going to be in the next version of ACF, so that's good. It says it's going to be a game changer. Sounds like it will be be good. So I don't know when that's going to come out, obviously, which is good. That's good. It sounds exciting, that, Michael. So you've done quite a lot with stuff. Keith, let's come to you. What have you done?
Well, like I say, I mean, we've...
what was the project we did?
We've worked on one site so far. A client site, and luckily I think the design for this was quite simple. I think it's totally okay to share it if we want to. It's a company called Cheerful 21st, so cheerful21st, all words, .com. And the design, really, really beautiful design, came to us, and we thought, you know what, this design is probably the right one to test out Gutenberg with. And we had that conversation with the client as well. We'd given them a fixed cost, so it wasn't like we were going to charge them extra if we got things wrong. This was just going to be our experiment, and we would take the hit if it turned out really badly. Luckily, it didn't. It turned out okay. But learned a lot along the way. I don't know how much to get into it now, because we'll probably cover stuff more later on. But I did a little bit of in around block styles, did a bit around custom font sizes, custom color palettes, a little bit of making the back end look a bit more like the front end, but obviously to a point, because I think you can take that way too far. And I just don't always think that the front end experience makes a good back end experience, if that makes any sense to anybody. That's one of my general problems. Found a lot of interesting challenges around spacing in Gutenberg. So, and I think that's kind of across the board with probably page builders, but Gutenberg didn't really have the tools, I didn't think, to deal with that. So I ended up borrowing, stealing a kind of responsive spacer block idea, which worked out quite well for us. What else did I do? I've got a couple of lists. Yeah, just playing around with some custom block styles and things. Lots of overriding styles, like Ben mentioned. But yeah, generally found it actually quite good fun in a way to like just to do something new. You know, we've been doing things the old-fashioned way for a very long time, and to try something new was interesting and quite good fun, good learning experience. And it did show me that there's definite opportunities. It would have been hard to do some of these things the old way. So.
Yeah, and we did build a couple of blocks, didn't we? That we didn't need many actually. I think it was only two or three, wasn't it? The most, and yeah. We did those using ACF just because we couldn't really deliver that using the native sort of core blocks, could we?
Yeah, I hope the ACF interface, the UI, can eventually look a little bit more native, because that's my big problem. They really stand out like a sore thumb as you scroll down a page, an edit screen. Nice
they still look a bit
some of those
meta-boxy, don't they? Like the old one. So.
Like you want the options in the sidebar, like they kind of should be, and things like that. Yeah. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. I'm sure Elliot's working really hard on that stuff. He's always doing great stuff. So,
absolutely. Yeah. So the Electric Code Company just says, like the sound of that section block. I can see how that would be really useful. I agree. I think that sounds like an interesting one, and when we had a play around with some of the block libraries that are available, they seem to use that sort of idea of a section block, so maybe that's something to look at. And thanks for waiting. Last but not least, Diane, what have you been doing? Well, I know you've been mentioning about Bright Talk and stuff, so have you been developing your own blocks, or have you been styling core blocks? What have you been up to?
So most of my other client work, I've mostly been sort of styling core blocks, but Bright Talk was my opportunity to really, really play with Gutenberg, and produced about 16 plugins which have about 3 blocks mostly they wanted short codes from their page builder converted into blocks, but then there was also an opportunity. I did a container block as well, so most of the short code blocks are server-side render blocks, but then I also did have a chance to write some pure JavaScript blocks like the container block. I also had the chance to write a block that queried the database through the REST API, so that was quite fun. It was actually really quite a fun project, because there were so many things that they wanted to do, and they wanted everything in blocks. Yeah. So I had the chance to, you know, kind of like to really play with everything. And again, I also tried to style the back end as much like the front end as possible. Some of the blocks have styles of their own to help. Things like some of the blocks needed like an outline round so you could see them in the editor. But other than that, what I found was a real useful shortcut is in queuing the theme style sheet into the block as the sort of main styles for the blocks. That was both a shortcut and also difficult because sometimes you kind of think, oh, that's going to look exactly the same as it does on the front end, but it doesn't always work out like that. And, you know, and sometimes you've got, you know, horrible, horrible things happen because, you know, you want full width on the front end, but you definitely don't necessarily want that in the back end. So there was some playing around. And also, I think going forward, there was a kind of nightmarish thing kind of that happened at one point where, you know, kind of like where I was adding classes. And actually, I think going forward, what I'll actually try and do is try and have fewer classes and target elements and kind of make styles kind of more general, because you know, you can easily get into this nightmarish scenario where you're adding more and more styles and overriding styles all the time. And actually what you want to do really is clear everything out and kind of try and keep your styles as general as possible and only target, you know, specific classes when you really have to, because the style sheets can just get unwieldy. So that's that's one thing that I think that I've learned from styling.
Yeah. But I think we had a bit of that where you're overriding overrides, and it's just getting it's a bit mental. It's like
just stick important.
Just want to start from scratch.
but it was So I had a really good chance to play. I've actually got just my local development site up, which I can screen share and show you the front end and the back end of the homepage if people are interested.
Absolutely.
Shall I
see if I can make this work, Diane? It worked earlier in our test
just drive, so. Just while you're getting that set up, Diane, I want to come back on something you mentioned about a server-side rendering block. Explain what that is and what that means and why it's different.
Yes, certainly. So the server-side render is when you have like a callback to a PHP function, and that is that's your callback rather than it being JavaScript and on the front end, and it means that it's good for anything that's updated from the server. And we kind of used it really because the short codes existed as PHP functions.
Right, I see. So the difference would be that the markup's not like saved in the database, is that right?
It's
dynamically generated when the person views the page.
Yes.
Right, cool. Yeah, that's fine. That sounds good.
Yeah, it's kind of more... that was quite a nice block to start with, although all the docs said, of course, you really want to be writing everything on the front end and in JavaScript, and that's, like, better. But I think if you're coming in from developing in PHP and that's how you're used to developing, I think the server-side blocks are a really nice way to start, because it will be more familiar with you. So I found that quite a useful entry point in a way, because you're writing your functions the way that you're used to, and then you're wrapping them in a Gutenberg block. So if anybody, I think, wants to sort of like, how do I get started? I don't have much JavaScript experience, but I want to write blocks. The server-side blocks, I think, are quite a nice way to start because it will be familiar.
That sounds really good, because that sounds like all you're doing then is the block becomes a UI for a short code, whereas you'd have to put like the attributes on the end, and then you're doing the other bit the same, aren't you, almost?
So for me, so the first few blocks that I did were all of this type, and I felt that was a nice way to start because it gives you the confidence then, and you can learn about Gutenberg, in an easy way while everything else is still quite familiar.
That's
my tip. Start with the server side. And I know that the docs say, oh, don't, you really shouldn't be using server side, but I think that, they are useful in a lot of ways, and especially if you're trying to update existing code that you have from traditional WordPress to Gutenberg, I think it's quite a nice way to start.
Yep, cool. Do you share your screen then? We can have a look at your project. That's good. Cool.
Yeah, so, let me know when the screen
shows. Cool, I'm going to share. So I'm sharing my screen now, I think.
Okay, I should be able
Keith to. Might have to press a button, I think.
There we go.
Cool. So this is just my local. So this is the home page. It doesn't have Black Widow on on the actual site. So if I go into the back end, then eventually when it gets there.
It's always a bit slow when it's doing the video, isn't it?
Yeah. I've noticed that as well. So this is what it looks like on the back end. So we've got so we've got styles, we've got the blocks there. This is one of the server-side rendered blocks. So you can see on the right-hand side here, most of them would be attributes, say, in a short code, and instead they're just in these blocks there. So you can put talk IDs and all the stuff that you would put in a short code. I wonder if I've got...
It looks so similar to the front end, doesn't it, actually?
It's not bad. I mean, that, there are differences. Like I said, you can't, because you have to have things like, the little handles and stuff, you can't have it looking the same. But we, we were quite happy that it was close enough that people knew what was going on. So, and I think if I go into this, I can show you that I added a little sidebar for a certain post type. This is probably more boring than it should be because everything's taking so long to load.
Right.
So here we've got like a little sidebar here specific for a post type.
Cool.
So that's probably less interesting. So I'll stop sharing.
It's interesting. You can do that with like putting stuff on the. So you can do that per post type or per post, can you? Like a different panel on the right-hand side.
Yeah. So I'm going to stop sharing because I'm looking at you guys. But the sidebars for the post types we found really kind of like quite useful. So you can have like an extra sidebar with extra settings and stuff that you want in, and it can be across all post types, or it can be post type specific. So
I wasn't aware of that. That's good. Loads of things that I like you don't realize you can do, but obviously you can. So
that's the whole point of this video, isn't it?
I mean the only reason that I found, you know, really that the same with anyone is the only reason I found out these things is because, you know, somebody said, I'd like this, and then you just tear through the documentation and try and see like how to do it, and so then you find out some. So I think that they didn't even want that sidebar. They wanted, which you couldn't do at the time, but I think you can now. They wanted sort of like extra settings added into the document sidebar.
Yeah.
So I kind of said, well, you can't have that. I think you can now, but you can have this, and I love that little separate sidebar. I think it's quite nice because, you know, it keeps things out of the way, and, you know, and it's only needed on certain post types, and so I kind of feel like, you know, kind of that was quite a nice solution.
That's really exciting stuff. That Simon Nolan says, how did you get the content area wide in the back end? Is that just a style sheet that you've rendered?
That's just a style sheet. So, like I said, so what I did was for all of the blocks, I enqueued the theme style sheet, but then I also had another style sheet, just the block editor style sheet, which did two things. One, it added if some blocks needed an outline because you couldn't really see them until content was added, and some blocks as well broke the layout.
Yep.
And also as well, you know, kind of you're kind of probably having to overwrite some styles in the style sheet. So you can enqueue your front end styles, and like I said, and that is a quick fix. But then there is some sort of like fiddling around that you have to do to kind of make it so that it works in the back end. So.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, it's probably a balance between checking whether it works or not, and then if you're causing too many problems, you could perhaps like just enqueue another style sheet and start again with styles. I mean, I guess it's worth experimenting, isn't it?
Yeah, I think going forward, you know, like I said, that lots of next time what I would do is write a theme, you know, kind of it's having to write a theme with Gutenberg in mind, and like I said, I think that the trick is to make your styles more general and less specific, so then you're not fighting with yourself.
Let's move on then to some of the challenges, because obviously I think we've all had challenges. It's new. It's something that we've never used before. Well, we have now, but and we've all had challenges of like what we're doing and the things we've run into. So I guess these could be a lot or not very many. But I think if we move to you, Ben, first, because I think obviously you're building themes for people to use, aren't you? So you're perhaps a bit more specific. And I just wondered if what are the main challenges you faced when converting all your themes over to Block Editor compatible, if that makes sense.
So for themes, probably the biggest challenge is supporting all the different combinations of content, because if we think about just the button style, because I don't change like what's available from core, so I'm not removing alternate styles or anything. So if we think about the buttons, By default, you have the button, but then you can change the border radius, and you can change it to an alternate style, which is just an outline, just the border. And then you can change the background color and the gradients, the gradient, and you can change the text color as well, I think. So if you think about all the different combinations of those, like five or six different properties, it's a lot of things to consider. It's and then you add on block quotes, which have like three different styles and a main color and a background color, and it's a lot of things to think about. And especially as well, because I'm retrofitting this to old themes, like some of my themes are like 10 years old, and so their code is not great, and making it work and override things properly is, it's been a challenge. I've had to change a lot of the old stuff to sort of so that it inherits the new block styles, rather than just spamming. So like a lot of my old themes had gradients in the background, but then the background colors don't work because the gradients are background image. So it's the different possibilities with each block. There's a lot of them, and trying to make it so that the users can edit everything is
And is there specific challenges in terms of like, I mean, you can style a block on its own to say this is a block quote and it sits on its own and it's got a beautiful style, but I guess when you add it above something else or below something else, or you put this block next to it, I guess there's those challenges around making it just all work together, isn't there?
Yes, absolutely. And when you nest things as well, like the, if you use a cover block and it's got a background image, or a, you can add like an overlay so that the background image isn't as visible. Especially for the button block where it's got the outline style and that makes the background transparent, you want to make sure that the text is readable. So if you've got this dark overlay on an image and then the text is dark, what do you do with the button styles?
Yeah, so, you did something with that, Keith, didn't you, with colours and like when they choose a dark colour and...
Well, yeah.
We did something, didn't we, on that project? I don't know whether we solved it or whether we just kind of half-solved it.
Yeah, I mean, I can, I could come to that an hour later, but yeah, the one useful... Not the one useful thing. One of the useful things is that it does output... If you're using custom colours... It outputs some useful classes. So if I've set a group block with a background color of brand red, there'll be a class that'll say that. And then if I've used, so we had an example where there was like a red background, and if there was a heading with a link within the heading, it had to hover to a certain color, for example, because it can't hover to red like it normally does in the rest of the site. So using those, using all those classes, so there was a class for the group, then there was a class for like the font size that was used. So I was like extra large font size. It uses this particular font and it uses these colors within that type of block. And it's just, so it's complex, but there are kind of, I did find the tools and, well, specifically the classes available to solve problems like that. But
I remember you doing something that was good. Any other challenges, Ben, apart from sort of styling things and making things match with each other?
It's keeping up to date with stuff and learning new things. I find, well, in terms of keeping up to date with stuff, I mostly use the Make blogs because they do the summaries every week. And then the docs, they always seem to be a bit behind. And also, if you're like looking for a tutorial or something online, you have to make sure it's fairly recent because things are changing so quickly that tutorials written a year ago are probably out of date.
Yeah, it's probably a good thing. Something keeps you around the date.
Makes it not work.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's working out how to do things.
And in terms of your... You're selling themes, obviously, which is great. Have you noticed any change? I mean, are people now using your block-based themes? Have you noticed any increase in support? Do people, you know, have people been asking questions about things, or has it been not really much different?
It hasn't really changed. No,
that's good. That's good.
No, I mean, to be honest, they didn't really ask for support before.
Okay.
But now WordPress.com is changing over, so everyone uses the block editor. So. Right. It's a,
that's almost because your themes are so awesome, so they don't need to have support.
Yes.
Cool. Okay, thanks for that. Let's move over to Michael then. So what about yourself? What challenges did you face? I've probably chatted about some anyway, but anything specific?
Obviously, learning React.
Wow.
Big one. It completely changes your mindset from, whereas we traditionally been PHP, HTML, and JavaScript on the front end, then to completely change the way you work.
Yeah.
It's been quite a big learning curve to do that, so we can understand and do things the way the tutorials show, the way the Gutenberg promote your building blocks.
And how did you do that? Did you sort of say, right, I'm going to sit down and learn React? Or did you sort of like jump in to try and do something and learn React on the way?
Obviously, the way you do everything is head first.
Right.
I mean, I was lucky that WP Sessions gave one of the, I think, Zach Gordon's courses or a subset of it. And going through that was worth its weight. It was brilliant because it explained it, but it didn't go too much into React. It explained what you need to know to build WordPress Gutenberg blocks, not the whole ecosystem. So I could definitely recommend that. That's where I learned an awful lot of the deep inner workings of it. Obviously, reading the WordPress docs, although they can be quite tricky because there's also, is it ES4 and ES5, or is it 5 and 6? Show you different ways of working, but then if one tutorial shows you one, you understand that, but then if you're writing in a different level of JavaScript as well, that can be quite complex, which is where ACF helps out because you don't have to worry about that. Obviously, we've also had a mind shift in how we design our websites. We now go into a very modular design system, so blocks can fit in where they need to.
Yeah,
I think that's helped a lot, because then it also extends to, we want to do landing pages. Well, we can use this element that testimonial can be used here, but not on this page. And that it allows the clients as well a lot more freedom. And I'm hoping that'll help for us. We've obviously had issues trying to remove the multitude of options.
Yeah.
Just for example, the spacing block of core is a value of 0 to, I presume it's infinity. Whereas obviously you don't want to give too much room to people that maybe aren't as understanding of your design system. So whereas we need to remove that and try and replace that with just a small, medium, large, just to narrow them down. Ideally, we don't want 20 different colours. We only want 3 or 4 different colour options. So we found a lot of the time we're removing the colour selection and moving it into styles.
Yeah.
I think again with the font sizes as well, there's the ability to add extra large font as a paragraph font, which would completely destroy a design if somebody accidentally did it.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of the challenges people have, isn't it? Is giving the clients control, but not allowing them to become a designer, which is really difficult to do, I think, and challenges. Mark Smallman just mentioned before, actually, on in the comments, there's just too many choices. There's too many blocks and too many choices for each block. And actually, it's interesting that you say, you know, you've been customizing those choices to suit your needs, or removing those choices, and is all that customization and removing done in React, or is some of it available to PHP?
Both. There are methods you can do it through React, and then there's enqueuing JavaScript files that then do it in Java. Enqueuing PHP like JavaScript files through PHP that can then edit the JavaScript.
Got you.
But then that was interesting, is looking through all the documentation, it says, oh yeah, you do this, but then it loads it on the front end of the website, so you then have to add a conditional link to say only load it on the back end.
Yeah,
which is quite an interesting thing.
Cool.
We found an issue with adding blocks together. If you put two together, you then want to change the space in between the two of them, which then you can't do because it's been manually set.
Yeah, that's interesting. I know Keith has had some problems with that as well, which is interesting. Go on then, Keith. You might want to come in on that then.
Just challenges. Challenges. I think I'm just going to echo a lot of what Ben and Michael have said so far. So I think the absolute biggest one for us was that it's just a big mindset and process shift. Like right from like designs. How do you give a client mock-ups of something that has like an almost infinite number of variations, like once it's in their hands? Do I have to like come up with mock-ups for every block and every like blocks within blocks within blocks beside other blocks, like with all the different style variations? Like, how on earth do you go about that? So that's hard. Luckily in this case we were given the design, so we didn't have to actually do the design, so we just had to make it work. But obviously when the client got hold of that, then they started fiddling about with options and things. So totally fair enough, like, because we hadn't, I guess, given them the training, because that's also hard to do. So yeah, that whole kind of mindset shift, process shift has probably been the hardest thing. Then yeah, all the options and variations to deal with when you're designing things, just so that whenever people put blocks in certain places and give them certain styles, they always work together. Spacing was a massive, I've said it already, and Michael's just talked about it. It was a real issue. Making sure that whenever, for example, blocks with background colors, you know, there's spacing around them so that the next block doesn't butt right up against the background color. I mean, we can do a lot of clever stuff with CSS, actually. You know, adjacent sibling selectors and things like that, to say if this block follows one with the background color, then do this, like give it some top padding or something like that. I've done a lot of that kind of thing, just to try to make it so that the client doesn't need to think about it. They just add the content and it works, because that's what you want from a CMS, right? Like you just want a client to say, I need to add this text, I need to add these images, and I don't want to worry about anything else. And then, yeah, one of the solutions was the spacer block we used a little bit, but because the native spacer block is just a set pixel amount, it didn't work at all responsively. So someone would say, yeah, I want this to be 120 pixels worth of space. Oh, but yeah, it can't be that on mobile, obviously. I was like, okay. So I used I used something online. Someone had kind of come up with a solution to that, the responsive spacer block. So it's effectively, you have a number of styles to choose from. So I set like small, medium, large, extra large space, and on mobile and desktop and tablet, those are all slightly different.
That just adds like a spacing div with a class of like large, small, and you can target that on each device, you know, or screen size.
Pretty much exactly that. So that gives a bit of room for maneuver. It'd be interesting, I didn't do it for this project, but it'd be interesting to experiment with negative space so we can pull elements, kind of overlap them slightly. We didn't do that, but I'd like to.
Then you'd be adding a spacer block to take space away.
Does that need to be its own block, or does that make sense? So and then there's like, how does it work with grid systems, alignment? You know, we can set you can choose to have alignment options in terms of normal, wide, extra wide, full screen, all that kind of stuff. So, and how does that then work with the grid system that you're using? That's been hard. I don't think I've got that right yet, because I was trying to shoehorn the grid system that I normally use into this new environment, and it was a bit clunky. I got there in the end, but I'd like to experiment with something different next time. And then something else Ben covered already, like overriding styles. So Gutenberg is slightly opinionated. It's not too bad. But like, I mean, it has to be to some extent. But it would be nice just to be able to say, I don't want your styles for X, Y, and Z blocks. I think that would be really, really useful. Like a pull quote or a block quote or something like that. I'd like to just be able to say, no, I'll do this. I've got it. I'm good. instead of having to...
Is that because all the styles are registered in like one style sheet? All the core styles?
Yeah, as far as I know, that's the case.
So you either turn it off or you leave it on. Basically, there's no individual solution.
I think so, unless anyone knows of an individual solution, but... I don't. So So those are the big things that I came across.
Cool.
So
just before we move to you, Dan, there's been a few comments. So pixels and things say that WP allowed block types function and post register template function were game changers for me throughout development. No matter how much I try, I just can't get my head around React. So I think those functions are so you can remove the core blocks. And I'm not sure what post register template is. If anyone can tell me, that would be awesome, because it sounds like everyone says it's awesome. So maybe I'm missing something there. So let's come to you, Diane. I don't know if you've got anything to add on challenges that you faced.
Yeah, so a couple of things. One, I know, Mark, we had a short conversation on Twitter about ES5 and ES6 and, you know, kind of setting up Webpack and Babel. Yes. And you can actually write all of your blocks in ES5, and then you don't have to set up Webpack or Babel or anything like that. And I did actually write the first few blocks in ES5, but to be honest, I found that it was easier to write them in ES6 because it can become quite complex, and the syntax is quite readable, especially when you come back after months. But I think that anyone that's put off of learning React because they think it has to be in ES6, I just wanted people to know that if you are really confident in ES5 or what we would recognize as normal old-fashioned JavaScript, then you can write all of your blocks like that. Another thing is I've recently been starting a new project for someone, and I was thinking, how do I do mock-ups? I always start off before I do a mock-up with a style tiles to work out what fonts and colors. And I was thinking, oh, maybe we can just get rid of the traditional mock-up and just have an extended style tile. These are all the combinations you can have. But I've actually learned that clients actually need, even if it doesn't necessarily make any sense, but the clients expect to see a mock-up of a page at a certain point in the process. So I think we will always have to have the traditional mock-ups, or at least for the foreseeable future. But if people, style tiles are a really good way of just showing people how different fonts, block quotes, colors, before you do the mock-up. And in a way, I think that's more useful for Gutenberg. But in my experience of dealing with clients, they still want to see a visual representation of a page, because for them this is all new as well. As much as it's new for us, because I was thinking, we probably won't be doing traditional mock-ups anymore, but that's not the reality at the moment.
That's a really good point. We've got a project right now that I'm doing some designs for, and we said in the proposal that we would only provide certain template designs. And the client's like, yeah, but what's the about page going to look like? What's the contact? What's this page going to look like? I don't know. We'll start building it and we'll work it out. Depends what blocks you want to use. So I've done a one page, here's kind of what most of the kind of common blocks will look like by default, with if you don't fiddle with anything, kind of thing, just to give them a representation and a bit of confidence.
But for them, it's new as well. That's the thing. Yep. I think that that we always forget, that they, for them, trying to explain to them, well, it can look a thousand different ways. That might be an exaggeration. Oh, another tip that I learned as well is that you can whitelist blocks. Basically, you can lock all of the blocks down and then whitelist them depending on user roles. So that's in WordPress, and that's a WordPress filter. I think I'll double check. I'll go back through my code and look at that. But I found that really quite useful
So to clarify, Dan, that would be like saying, so you could say, so like,
the you can lock all the blocks down, and then I tell you which blocks you can have access to.
Oh, that's good. So like an administrator could have access to the latest post block, but like an author couldn't, for example. Yeah. Yeah. Wow, that's exciting.
I was just going to say, I didn't know until yesterday that you could actually disable and enable blocks just from the editing screen. I was saying to Mark, why can't I just want to be able to turn all the blocks off that I don't want? It's like, you can't just click that button. I was like,
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. Just to mention, the post register template, Electric Code Company, thank you, and Pixels and Things mentioned, it allows you to pre-populate blocks on a certain post type. So I guess that means when you open up a case study, it could already have block A, block B, block C in the editor ready. And then I guess you can't remove those stuff, you just fill them in, which sounds really good. That's good. Excellent. So good, some challenges, but hopefully lots of solutions. Diane seems to have found lots of solutions for things, which is good. That's what we like to hear. So well done on that one.
Yeah.
So we've run out of time. We've done what 50 odd minutes already. So I'm going to move on to the sort of opportunities. So obviously we've got a new editor, completely new editor in WordPress now, very different. And I just wondered if you've got any thoughts on opportunities that it gives your clients, your customers, that the other editor didn't have. If you've got any sort of thoughts on that, we'll start with Michael.
I think the biggest opportunity I see is storytelling.
Interesting. With,
because you can add the blocks in a lot easier than if you're using a page builder. You can then tailor your, say, e-commerce products. You're selling one product, you can tailor it so it has a video here, a description here, a how-to guide here, whereas something else you then sell with, oh, a sizing guide here or something like that. You can alter them, but they're still the same template, same page, but it just gives you that better ability to change your mind per product. Whereas if you were doing the old school way of a flexible content block,
yep,
would you quite have that ability to, you know, pull in everything you wanted, or would you only have what was originally built?
Yeah, understand.
And then going back in at a later date saying, oh, we now want to add an extra flexible field in there that adds a testimonial in, that adds an image gallery. Whereas all you do, you add a new block.
Yeah.
It's automatically available.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point, actually. Yeah, never thought of that. Ben, have you any opportunities you think that it's given you and your customers and your themes that you couldn't do before?
As a theme author, I'm not sure there's a huge amount. For the customers, I think it's massive.
Yeah.
I think as well for plug-in authors, I think it's still like baby steps at the moment. There's so many things that probably haven't been thought of that could go crazy, and we could have some amazing things come from it. I think looking a bit further forward, I think the full site editing and the global styles will be huge, and that'll add a lot of potential for more flexible themes, more flexible websites. So I think there's a lot of potential.
Could you, yeah, Ben, can you go into a little bit of detail onto what they are and why do you think they're going to be huge?
Well, this is mostly from a user's point of view, because I, as a theme developer, I think that they're going to reduce the need for things like premium themes. But full site editing is a totally different way of building themes. You build it all with, or mostly with, HTML files. There's very little PHP now. And the theme will be built from blocks. Mm. So you'd have a header. What used to be header.php would be a header.html or similar. And then the navigation, you'd add a navigation block. And then in the sidebar, you'd just have a container that you can put whatever widgets you like or whatever blocks you like. Mm. And then in the editor, you would be able to edit the header or the sidebar on every page that you're editing. And when you press save, it would update the header on every page rather than just the one page that you're looking at. So it is full site editing. It's almost Squarespace, Wix style.
Yeah.
And at that point, what is a theme? Or does a theme still exist? Or
I'm not convinced that themes will be needed.
Yeah.
I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
But I think that by that stage, you'll be able to do most things just with one theme, and you'd be able to have a plugin that would change fonts and colors. And
yeah,
I mean, sure, the global styles, that's kind of what that's for, is for setting. I think it's going to use CSS custom properties.
Yeah.
So you'd set a custom property for the heading style and the body style, or the heading font and the body font, and then it would update your entire site. So I'm not sure where themes are going to fit in.
But they can't, well, surely, because the whole point in a theme is that it gives someone a good looking design out of the box, and people are that the need for that isn't going to go away, presumably. Like, people are going to still want to shop around and say, I like the look of that, I want to fit my content into that.
Yeah, but then maybe that won't be delivered as a theme. Delivered as a plugin, maybe.
As
I don't know.
Options for
defaults
for the global styles, or. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
yeah. I think that still is what people want, but maybe it won't be a theme in the future. I'm not so sure.
Yeah,
and we might be using more plugins for that sort of thing.
Yeah,
yeah. Quickly to Diane, have you got any opportunities that you've seen now that you haven't before?
So, I mean, I think for the user, I mean, for the client or for the customer, they've always wanted to have more control over the content. So it's been really positive from that side. And for me as a developer, it has given actually me personally, but I can see that it's also taken away from lots of people, but it has actually given me a lot of opportunities to play with. I've used more JavaScript in the last 18 months than I have in the like previous 6 years. So that's been like a really positive thing. I do agree as well. I think that themes, the way we understand themes will change. But from the conversations that I've had with clients, they still actually want that their ideas kind of realized or something that represents them. So I think that the way we implement that might change, but I think that people still relate to their websites in the way that they always have, and they for me it's different because I do custom themes, but there's still that conversation. This is the ideas that this is the ideas that I want to come across. And so for us, I think the way we implement that will change, but for the client, the relationship they have with websites, I think that hasn't changed yet. And I'm not sure that it will change, because I think they don't really understand how it all goes together, but they only really like understand how it exists when it comes to them on the front end.
I agree.
So I think the way we implement it will change, but I think that there still is a need for themes in some form,
Okay, interesting. Have you anything to add, Keith, on opportunities? I've just got one more question before we ask the audience. So
yeah, cool. It's a kind of an interesting question, because opportunities compared to what? Because I kind of feel like almost anything you could think of that you'd wanted to do was available to you before, because JavaScript and PHP still existed. So you could have done all these things anyway. And like, are we comparing it to the old editor, the native WordPress editor? Or are we comparing it to page builders? Because obviously some page builders out there have a lot more capabilities than Gutenberg currently. It's difficult. So in some ways I haven't really... Maybe it's just my lack of creative forward thinking, but I haven't seen that many kind of opportunities yet that I think we couldn't have achieved in other ways. Although I'm sure that they are there for someone that probably understands the technology a little bit better than me, which wouldn't be too difficult. But just generally, like over the kind of what we had before, so we were using ACF flexible content, sort of pre-Gutenberg, to kind of shift into that kind of block-based kind of mindset. And there's certainly a lot of kind of opportunities and improvements over that style of working. I don't know. I think I'm yet to see it. I think I don't fully understand it yet to be a forward thinker, if that makes sense. I'm trying to grapple with what's happening right now rather than thinking, ooh, I wonder if I could do that.
I think, because like when I sort of discovered flexible content with ACF, you have that golden whoa moment. It's like, whoa, look what I can. And maybe we've not got to that with Gutenberg yet, but it'll come. Maybe
I think it's probably our lack of JavaScript understanding, to be honest. Once we fully embrace that, which it sounds like I'm gonna have to do, it's actually that's one takeaway I would like people to have, is that we have managed to build a pretty nice Gutenberg theme with practically zero JavaScript. So it's possible. Yeah. So don't let... I mean, that was the big fear factor for me with Gutenberg, is like, I'm not good enough at JavaScript. We haven't actually needed... Unless you're building your own kind of blocks outside of something like ACF, then yeah, you need to know the JavaScript. But otherwise, you can still be building themes for Gutenberg. So don't let that put you off getting stuck in, because there's still opportunities and it's actually sort of good fun.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, it is a good point. So I've got one more question for the panel. I'd like, if the panel is okay with it, to take some questions from people who are watching. So if you have any questions, we won't go on too much longer, but if you have any questions, do pop them in the comment section to ask our panel, and I'll try and get to as many as I can. I've jotted two down that I wanted to get to at the end. So my last question, and again, if we could just keep this brief, actually, it would be good, is has Gutenberg... This is kind of away from development, actually. Has Gutenberg changed your pricing? Has it changed the... the time scales that you give clients in terms of how long it takes to build a site, a theme, or whatever, and the process you deliver that. I think we've touched on the way that that sort of happens as well in this call, but I just wondered if there's anything that's changed in how you deliver that and how you price projects. Should we start with Diane?
Hi, yeah. So, I tend to do fixed price for most of my projects. In the beginning, especially, that meant taking a hit. But I think that now it's kind of incorporated into my working practices. Still really finding my way really around pricing. And like I said, because different things take longer, like mock-ups and stuff, as we were saying, even just the design process, I've had to rethink that. So I'm still finding my way on pricing, and because I'm finding my way, it's why I'm tending to really do fixed cost at the moment until I kind of really understand how long it's going to.
So I guess it's just experience, isn't it? It's learning as you go along and improving the process and stuff. But it has changed. It's changed for us definitely as well. Michael, what about yourself?
Fortunate enough that we have a sales and account managers that look after the majority of that. But from a development point of view, I think it hasn't changed too much because the benefits we get from Gutenberg and also like have kind of balanced it out a bit really. Some of the awkward bits from building with a standard editor, like the amount of time spent building the flexible content, has almost been, we no need to do that. We just can spend a little bit more time on the blocks. So it almost evens itself into some respect. It's what we borrow from here, we now save here.
That's interesting.
And I think as well, with the multitude of default blocks now as well, we don't have to build as many items. We can customize the core blocks. Like really enjoying the media text block at the moment. That's been very helpful.
Yeah, you get a lot for you, don't problems. You? Yeah, you get a lot done for you, which is interesting.
So all we need to do with that is change a little bit, as opposed to having to design it, build it all, customize it, and then put several options in. Well, we just pick the options at the moment.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. So quickly moving over to you, Ben. What about yourself? Has any have you any changes in pricing, for example, for your themes or anything that's changed for you?
I haven't changed anything really. I think perhaps there's some things I could change with how I promote themes, explaining that I've got this support. But no, the pricing hasn't changed. It's mostly sort of development processes that have changed.
Yeah, that's good. Anything to add, Keith?
Just that I think for us in the short term, things are taking longer. We're trying to absorb as much of that as possible. But I actually can see, like Michael said, I can see a future where it's potentially a little bit quicker, like the design and some of the development phases, because a lot of it is sort of done for you. And I can imagine, for example, that after the next couple of projects, we'll have some kind of boilerplate, I don't know, sketch files for designs. We'd have some, you know, code that we can reuse. I could probably have some CSS that I can put into some kind of sort of starter theme that gives us a massive head start. So I think a bit of short-term pain, and we won't raise the prices, hopefully. But in terms of how long it takes, I think it's taking a bit longer for us at the minute. But I can see a future where it's quicker and better.
I guess that's similar to when you started building WordPress sites previously, isn't it? Exactly. You've got to learn. You've got to take the time to understand it. Also, I guess that's no different, really. But interesting stuff. So I'm going to get on some questions. I've got a couple that I want to get to. If you've got any more questions that you want to ask our panel, I'm not going to go on too much longer. Then stick them in the comments, and we'll get to those. So the first one is a question and a comment, really, from Ross Wintle. So thanks for that. And he mentioned, and I think we've discussed this a little bit, was about the fact that Gutenberg is a moving target, and how do we sort of cope with the fact that it's a moving target? I don't know if anyone's got any tips, tricks, and hints on how you've managed to do that. Anyone wants to shout out any answers?
When I follow the Make blogs, as I said earlier, I think that's a good way of keeping up to date with what's changing.
Yep. And is there a specific one, Ben, that you can... Is it just the core block, or is there a Gutenberg Make blog that you can sort of get stuff from?
No, I follow most of them, so right, I get all these emails, and I'm not sure where
that's fine. And that's because they summarise the what's happening sort of in that.
Activities sort of. And, yeah.
Yeah, that's probably really good advice.
There's a specific one for Gutenberg themes as well, which I've started following.
That's really
nice. That looks interesting. And then obviously there's the Slack channel as well, but I find that quite noisy. Obviously, it's good to get involved, but it does require a lot of time to sort of dig in there, I think.
That's my I think Slack and GitHub is just overwhelming. So
yeah,
try to stick to the summaries and dip in when I need to.
I think that's good advice. But yeah, perhaps, you know, the moving target thing is a problem at the moment, but hopefully we'll get it solved. And then Dan Addison has asked, I wonder how much training you've given your clients on how to use the editor. He says, I must be doing a poor job of that because I'm finding myself having to tidy up the content myself quite often. So I wonder, like training, has it required lots of training or not very, very much? What about you, Ben, with your themes? Has anyone been struggling with the block editor, or have you found it really easy to use for your clients?
I can't think of any support for that sort of thing. I think they like the extra power, having this freedom. And because I'm not designing the site for them, I don't need to worry about style guides and that sort of thing. It's up to them what they do. So if they want to make it really weird, it's like, okay, it's your money. It's your site.
And Diane, have you done specific training, or how have you delivered that?
So I've always, for most of my clients, I've always done like video tutorials that I send to them. So it's basically just been the same. And to be honest, I haven't found that they, for them, especially if they haven't had a WordPress site before, the concept hasn't been difficult for them. So for me, for my training, I do some standard videos, and then if someone specifically asks me how to do something specifically, I'll do a video for that. So that part hasn't changed for me, and they don't seem to find it more difficult to use Gutenberg than the classic editor. People seem to be able to pick it up.
That's good. Michael?
Yeah, I think obviously echo an awful lot what Diane says there. We do video walkthroughs explaining all the different blocks, how it works. But I think going back to an earlier point is removing the stuff that can potentially break is really positive thing. If you can reduce the barrier to entry,
good point.
Make your client not have to think, oh, do I need to put 32 pixels padding or 44? If you can make it a lot easier for them to do, it's going to break it down, that they're going to have less issues because they can't get into problems.
Yeah, I agree. I think we like to take that approach, don't we, Keith? Trying to make it as simple as possible.
Decisions, not options, right?
Yes.
Decisions, not options, yeah. Cool. Anything to add, Keith, on training?
Not really. I mean, that first project was, it's kind of been ad hoc, kind of reactive training, hasn't it, really?
I think a lot of our clients have already used WordPress, haven't they? And a lot have already used, even I already used the block editor. I think we often take the approach, like others have said, we do video walkthroughs and stuff, but it's more about go and have a go with it and let us know if you're struggling almost. And most clients kind of get it, or you know, and then we might have to jump in and correct them on this, correct them on that, do a specific video on this thing that you know we need to show them because it's very unique, that sort of thing. So it's probably that's the approach we should go for, I think, anyway. Right, I think that's us done. I just want to say a massive thank you to all our panel for coming along. I hope you enjoyed that. I thought it was really useful. I hope the audience enjoyed it, and thanks for joining us. And we'll be back, hopefully, in about a month's time for the second episode, where we'll be looking at a different topic in WordPress. We won't stick to Gutenberg all the time. Hopefully, we'll have some panel guests again that want to join us. If you want to obviously keep informed, then you can subscribe to this YouTube channel, and you'll be able to see the latest stuff that comes out from us. And other than that, I'll just say thanks again, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks, everybody.
Wonderful. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.